Hello, I'm Barry Daniel, and this is the podcast of the Middle Way Society. Our aim is to encourage a universal approach to living a more integrated, ethical life, avoiding dogma or any appeal to authority. My guest today is Marina Cantacuzino, the founder of the Forgiveness Project, which you can visit at www.forgivenessproject.com. She's going to tell us how the project came about, what its rationale is, and how she would like to see it develop. We'll also talk about the idea of forgiveness in all its complexity. Hello, Marina. Welcome to the MWS podcast.
Hello there.
Okay, well, could I ask you first of all to tell us something about yourself and your background?
Yeah, sure. My background's actually journalism. I was a freelance journalist for a good 15 years, working in print journalism mainly. And I was a mother with three children, and it was around the time of the Iraq War, 2002-2003. And there was so much media attention and the politicians were really speaking about revenge and retaliation, tit for tat and payback. And this was the language of the day.
Yeah.
It was really the rhetoric of revenge. And I think as a journalist, I just felt frustrated and depressed and unhappy about this. And I thought, what can I do? And I had a small voice, and I decided, really, it was a very personal, private project, but in my spare time, I was traveling quite a bit for Oxfam, Red Cross, charities like that. And I had a friend who was working with me who was a photographer. And I said to him, let's try and find stories about forgiveness and reconciliation and conflict resolution. And I really didn't know what we do with those stories. I just knew I knew the power of the personal narrative.
Yeah.
And I knew that rather than me saying anything, as a journalist, if you like, I needed to find stories that could actually show that you didn't have to respond to violence with further violence, mm-hmm. in order to exit the cycle, if you like.
Yeah.
And so just to, you know, finish that part of the story, really, that's what I did. A whole year we spent collecting stories about forgiveness and reconciliation, and South Africa, Northern Ireland, Israel, UK, US, mm-hmm. and I didn't know what was going to happen to them, but we knew Anita Roddick, who was a social activist,
yeah.
founder of the Body Shop, and she saw the raw material, and she was so moved by them, she said, you have to do something with these, you know, it has to be more than an article, and she gave me the money to be able to make it into an exhibition, essentially.
Yeah.
And it was very journalistic, it was called the F Word, it was launched in January 2004, exactly 10 years ago. And it was called the F Word because by now I knew what a complex, difficult subject forgiveness was. And I expected my life after that exhibition, which attracted a lot of attention from all around the world, but I expected my life, you know, to go back to journalism. But it didn't. The subject never let me alone again. I discovered that of all the things I've ever written about or worked in, and I've done a lot of quite, you know, meaty stuff around mental health and relationships, etc., but nothing like this subject. Nothing had ever grabbed the public attention like this subject. So that's how I started the Forgiveness Project. It really was never a plan, but it had to happen because the response was so overwhelming.
Yeah. Why do you think it did hit a nerve with the public?
Well, I think at that time, these were narratives of hope at a very bleak time. But equally, I think, and the stories were very extreme. As you said that, you know, I was looking, because I knew as a journalist, you need to get impact and grab people's attention. So the stories were extreme. They were from perpetrators, from people who had used their aggression now towards, using it more towards, as a force for peace now, but also stories of victims, people who've forgiven their children's killers or were on a journey towards forgiveness. So the stories were very extreme, but I also knew that they would, or I didn't actually know, but I realized pretty soon that they were shedding light onto people's own smaller grievances.
Yeah.
And so they resonated within people's own personal lives. In a way that I kind of knew as a journalist happened, because I've had letters over the years. Whenever I wrote the personal story, the first-person narrative, I often got letters from people saying, oh, thank you for sharing that, you know, that's just how I feel or whatever. So I knew the power of the personal narrative, but I didn't really know that this subject impacted on everyone, actually everybody. Whether some people hated it, of course. Although I have to say, over the years, the negative responses have been minimal, which is surprising. And I think the reason for that is, and also this is quite a personal response to the subject, I'm very keen not to preach.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very keen that people who came to the stories didn't feel that they were being told they should forgive, because I don't think that's helpful. And who can say that anyway? Everyone's experience is different. Everyone's response is different. Everyone has limits and parameters around forgiveness. So the stories were authentic and real, and they showed forgiveness as a difficult, messy, risky journey.
Yeah.
That was or could be potentially transformative. And, you know, that's the bit I'm interested in anyway.
Yeah. Is that quite a barrier to break through this? Because I think you're right, there is often quite a bit of social pressure involved with forgiveness.
Yes. Yeah, the pressure comes both ways, I think, but certainly you're right. And I think the minute forgiveness becomes an obligation, it actually quickly becomes a tyranny.
Yeah.
And I was in America recently because I was lucky to get a Winston Churchill Travelling Fellowship, which meant that I went off for 5 weeks to look at interventions working with offenders, you know, to do with victim empathy and restorative justice. And I met one of the leading academics in the field of restorative justice, and he's doing a lot of work in what he calls the paradox of forgiveness, which was fascinating to me, because he basically said, in a restorative justice setting, which is when a victim meets an offender face to face, if you encourage or talk about forgiveness, even, people feel unsafe. But if you create a safe environment, safe conditions, without talking or mentioning it, then forgiveness is very likely to happen. So, you know, that was really interesting. It's something I kind of knew anyway, because I think if you become dogmatic with it and start to preach it in any way, a lot of people come resistant. Of course they would. So I've been very careful to tread very very sensitively around the subject, and to present the Forgiveness Project as a place of examination, where, you know, and exploration, and where we can discuss the concepts rather than telling people this is what you need to do in order to be able to forgive.
Yeah. Did you have any thoughts ever about trying to re-sort of brand the name, or is it more you call a spade, this is what it is?
Well, I did, and I have had many thoughts around that, and always came back to the fact that, you know, the Forgiveness Project, in a way, project is kind of unfinished and still working on something, which I quite liked. And I kept with the name because basically it starts a conversation, because people have so many assumptions that you're always having to explain. And nothing else quite did it. You know, everything else felt a bit kind of weak and woolly and avoiding the subject in a way. So that's why we kept with it.
Yeah, and that makes sense. So since that initial exhibition, how has it developed, the project, and how do you feel about its development?
Well, when that first launch happened on the South Bank in London in 2004, we invited all the people who had shared their stories, and there were 26 of them, and about 12 of them turned up. And these were people who had killed, as well as people who had lost loved ones to murder.
Yeah.
And there was a real sense in those people that this was a very healing space that we created over 2 days. And from there, I realized that what was quite unique about this project, I think, you get offender projects, you get victim projects. But the way we were working with both seemed really important. And that's when we decided to try to develop work with offenders in prisons.
Okay.
And so that's one thing that we do very successfully, and it's an award-winning program now, and it's facilitated by both ex-offenders and victims of crime who work together. It's a short, intensive program that uses storytelling to really help offenders reflect on their motivation and develop fresh perspectives to move forward. And we also use the stories. There are now 130 stories on the website. And we film quite a lot of them. So we've used some of those film stories and are about to launch an online web resource for teachers. Because historically, right from the beginning, teachers have said, come to the website, are using the stories in their lessons, and have always asked, what more do you have? What more do you have? So that's something that's just about to be launched. And we put on a lot of talks and create courses and collect stories, basically. That's what we do.
Right, okay. And how do you feel about the future? What plans do you have for the development?
Well, that's a good question, because we're 10 years old this year. We've grown slowly. You know, we have a wide impact. People are always surprised how small we are, because a lot of people have heard of us. But we're only three people in a small office. And my main feeling is, because people all the time email and say, can you do this? Can you come here? Is that the next 10 years is about building some kind of, you could call it like a franchise model in a way, but to develop groups in other locations, in other countries, who can actually just run with it.
Yeah.
Because I don't really want it to be a big organization. It doesn't feel like it could be big in the sense of having a big building with lots of office staff. But just to provide people with the tools to do their own forgiveness circles or exhibitions or interventions in prisons or whatever it is. That's the vision.
Yeah. Okay, well, can we just talk a little bit about forgiveness?
Yes.
Let's unpick it a little bit. There's a quote on your website that I think is worth reading out aloud. It's by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. If only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were necessary only to separate them from the rest of us and destroy them. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being, and who is willing to destroy a piece of his own heart? Now, you say on the site that you feel that in many ways this sums up the ethos of the project. Could you expand a little bit on that?
Yes, I think it comes from my own sort of very deep belief. And I'm not a Christian, but I use the word redemption. I believe in redemption. I believe people can change. I believe any of us, in some senses, are capable of doing anything.
Yeah.
I think under the right circumstances, you know, peaceful people become warriors and rational people become irrational. I don't think any of us can really know how we would respond in certain circumstances. And there's one story that illustrates that for me, which is Joe Berry, whose father was killed in the Brighton bomb, mm-hmm. the IRA. And she has since, you know, gone on a journey of building bridges and works with the Pat McGee, who's the man who was responsible for planting the bomb. And she says about him, he said, if I had lived his life, perhaps I would have made his choices. And so that, in a way, sums up really for me this sense of humanizing the other,
mm-hmm.
I think is absolutely critical to forgiveness. I don't like the word evil very much. I think it's an unflinching moral absolute that doesn't help. I prefer to I do think there are evil acts and that people do terrible things. I'm interested in, well, where forgiveness comes in this respect is, what does forgiveness mean? You know, people think it means condoning and excusing and saying it's all right for something to happen. I think forgiveness is really about recognizing the humanity in the other and understanding the fallibility of human nature and that we are all human.
Yeah.
When you talk about forgiveness in terms of very extreme violent acts, I think you're talking about forgiving humanity, forgiving the human race.
So are we, in a sense, do we need, in a sense, to forgive part of ourselves?
Yes, I think so. And I think it very much does start from having compassion for yourself, because how How can you have compassion for others if you don't have compassion for yourselves? And people who are able to forgive tend to be very self-reflecting people, it seems. I know this. This is all anecdotal, but you know, I collect evidence as the years go by, as I meet more and more people who either have forgiven or want to forgive, or at least have drawn a line under the dogma of vengeance.
Yeah. Is there a danger at times, though, that people can forgive too quickly or too superficially?
I think there is definitely sort of something that you could say was premature forgiveness.
Yeah.
I think if you move on before you've dealt with the pain, you actually can take that pain into your relationships and into your communities. You know, I don't like to make sweeping statements, but I think that there is definitely a danger of forgiving prematurely, yes. Premature forgiveness is very dangerous. On the other hand, there are some people who are able to get to that point almost instantaneously, but I think they're very small. Some people feel obliged to because maybe their religion or their communities have told them that this is the way to act, and maybe speak it through, you know, and have it in their head before it's in their heart. I think that happens.
You mentioned earlier on that you're creating an online film. Is that the film Beyond Right and Wrong?
No. I was talking about an online resource of stories for teachers. The film Beyond Right and Wrong has nothing to do with the Forgiveness Project, but I was interviewed just as a commentator and appear briefly in it. But it's a film of several stories of people who've been on a journey towards forgiveness and reconciliation. And many of those in it are people that are also on the Forgiveness Project website, have shared their story with us. So I know actually most of the stories in the film, and it's really, it could have been made by the Forgiveness Project. The ethos, the tone, the temper of it, very much in, it's very much shared by the Forgiveness Project. And I think what I like about it is it doesn't try to preach again. It just tells the stories as they were in the voices of the people who share them. And it's really about listening to the pain of the other. And in a way that has had a lot of impact, and it's been shown at the moment, you know, around schools and in community interventions. And it's really having a very powerful impact because for the very same reason as the Forgiveness Project, I think, it doesn't try to tell anybody to do anything. It's just saying, consider this, basically. And then people start to think, because that's what you're trying to do all the time, is just get people to think differently, especially when people are very black and white, fixed perspectives. I mean, the one thing I've realised is the longer I work in this field, the less I know, really.
Yeah, okay. Desmond Tutu said in a recent Guardian interview that I am sorry are the three hardest words to say, genuinely. Why do you think this is so?
Well, I think blaming others for one's own pain is sort of almost a default position. And to take responsibility for actions is very, very hard. Because you really have to reflect, and it requires self-knowledge and self-awareness, all very, very difficult things. And it's so much easier to put the blame outside of ourselves.
And so do you think then responsibility also plays a big part in forgiveness?
Yes, I do. Responsibility, and also just not having expectations of how people must behave, and having, you know, the more rule-bound you are, the more black and white your thinking is, I think, the more difficult it is to forgive.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you very much for talking to us today, Marina.
Thank you.
It's been great.
No, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.
To view a discussion on forgiveness on the Middle Way Society website, go to www.middlewaysociety.org/forgiveness.